Tonight, God's Word comes to us from Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. We are going to begin our reading at the beginning of this chapter, reading the first five verses, and then picking up the reading at verse 20. Acts chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. What we hear now is God's Word. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. And now verse 20. Now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord. And having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace, because their country depended on the king's country for food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, "The voice of a god, and not of a man." Immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him down, because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. But the word of God increased and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, tonight we come to the end of our series of sermons on the first half of the book of Acts. It was our intention at the beginning not to go entirely through the book, but only through this first section, these first 12 chapters. I remind you that Acts is a story about Jesus Christ. Luke began this book in chapter 1, verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. In the first book, in the Gospel of Luke, what Jesus' ministry was while he was on earth. And now what we called Acts as Luke Part 2, Jesus' continuing ministry after he had gone from earth back to heaven. We saw that chapter 1, verse 8 gave something of a program by which the church of God would advance. Acts 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Judea, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And we saw how God then unfolded that plan, beginning in Jerusalem. Acts 2 and the Pentecost event. As they were gathered in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit poured out upon God's people. We saw that as the church continued to move in advance in chapter 3, we had miraculous signs done by Peter and John. And they gave glory to God through the preaching that they had done. We talked about the sermons in Acts, preaching that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. As God continues to move His mission forward, the church faced persecution. Acts chapter 4, where Peter and John are imprisoned and then later they are released. God will not be bound. Prison doors will not stop him from advancing the movement of his gospel. We saw in Acts something of the worship and the structure of the New Testament church. The worship in Acts chapter 2 and the structure in Acts chapter 6. How they had those who were set apart for the ministry of the word and prayer, and also those set apart to serve the church. talked about the first deacons in Acts chapter 6. And then in chapter 7, another first in the New Testament church, the first martyr. Stephen preaches a sermon, preaching that kills. And he is the first martyr of the New Testament church. Although even in that, we see God advancing His kingdom. We noticed Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And there arose on that day, the day of Stephen's martyrdom, there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. And those who were scattered went about preaching the word. God even used this tragedy, this martyrdom, to continue His purposes. And because of that, the church is scattered. And because of that scattering, the gospel advances now outside of Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria. The advancement of the gospel. And then finally we got to Acts chapter 10, where now beyond Judea and Samaria, even on the Gentiles, even on those outside the people of God, His grace, His mercy, His compassion is shown. And God's programmatic, ongoing movement of His kingdom continues as even the Gentiles are brought in. Cornelius and his interactions with Peter. God continues to advance His church. We have talked about the fact that this church in Acts, this New Testament church, is the history of our church. We are the ongoing continuation of what God has been doing and continues to do as God continues to advance His kingdom today. And that's what we're going to look at this evening. How God continues to work powerfully in the life of His church in spite of difficulties, in spite of hard times we might see around us. God is still at work. Christ is still enthroned as King. And He continues, by the power of His Spirit, to complete that work, to continue to bring the gospel to all the nations, that all may hear that glorious truth and be brought in to the glories of Jesus Christ. This chapter is an encouragement for us today, not simply a history lesson from the past, what God did long ago in the New Testament, but what God continues to do by the power of His Word and Spirit. God is still advancing His kingdom. He does so in spite of human losses. We read last time the story of chapter 12. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. Herod, wanting to curry the favor of the Jews, begins to persecute the Christian church. And we read in verse 2, he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. James, one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. James and John, those two brothers who were called the sons of thunder, mighty, powerful. And this one, James, who would be, for the sake of the gospel, put to death. How that must have hurt the New Testament church. This mighty man, this powerful man, this great one, killed by the sword of King Herod. James is put to death, and Peter is imprisoned. When Herod sees that this oppression pleases the Jews, he goes on to arrest Peter also. We saw how Peter was put in prison during those days of unleavened bread. And that key verse from last time, verse 5, so Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. And how God, in spite of this difficulty, Peter put in prison, would continue His work. I would suggest tonight that we look at Acts chapter 12, verse 24, as the key to understanding this text, this second half of the story. The Word of God increased and multiplied in spite of the human losses. Peter is put in prison. We saw last time how God miraculously took him out. But then he is He is told to go away. He goes elsewhere. And really, at this point, in many ways, Peter disappears from New Testament history. Oh, we have a couple references to him. Of course, we have his letters that he wrote later. But really, as an actor, as a player in the New Testament story, he is now out of the scene. Other than a few particular places, we don't see Peter mighty and powerful in the church anymore. God's people are being killed. God's people are being imprisoned and then taken off the scene. And yet God continues to advance His kingdom. The word of God increased and multiplied because God's kingdom is not dependent upon the work of men. It is God who is acting. It is God who is working. Yes, James would be killed. Yes, Peter would be, I might say, sidelined. But God would continue to advance. Because eventually, of course, all the apostles would die. All the pillars of the church. But the death of the men wasn't the end of the Christian church. We think perhaps of our own more recent history. Those pillars we look up to. Calvin has died. Luther has died. Kuyper and Bavinck and Hodge have died. Burkhoff and Murray and Ventil have died. And yet God's kingdom continues to advance. We think of theologians of our own age. A man like R.C. Sproul. A man like Michael Scott Horton. Mighty, doing powerful things for the church of God. These two will pass away. These men will die. But that will not end the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. His kingdom will continue and continue to advance because even though men die, Christ did not remain dead. Oh, He did go all the way to the cross for our sins and He really died for us, but death could not hold Him. The King of the church rose from the dead. The King of the church lives today. And right now, He sits enthroned in heaven, ruling and reigning over His people. That's our hope, not the hope of men, what they can do for us, but what Jesus Christ, our King, continues to do for us. He is the foundation, the cornerstone of the Christian church. Men will come and go. Ministers will come and go. They move about. But God's church is firm and established because Jesus Christ, by the power of His Spirit, remains with that church forever. The church is not a man-made institution. Remember, we talked about that back in the stories in Acts chapter 5, how they were wondering if they should try to oppose this, and Gamaliel gets up and he speaks at Acts 5, verse 38. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men. Let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of men, it will fail. But since it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God. The church is not a man-made institution. It is not the brainchild of men of old. It is God's chosen people. And He will continue to advance. That's our church. We see office bearers come and go. We see elders retire. We see elders come in. But God continues to work. In spite of men coming and going, our hope is not in the work of a man. But our hope is in the ongoing work of the God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ. God continues to advance His kingdom in spite of human losses, in spite of the death of James, in spite of the imprisonment of Peter. The Word of God increased and multiplied. God is at work in His church. Christ's kingdom advances in spite of human losses. It advances in spite of wicked tyrants. We read the story of Herod, this king who is persecuting the church, this king who killed James, this king who imprisoned Peter. And we hear this story at the end of this first half of Acts about what happened to Herod. Acts verse 20. Now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, up to the north. They came to him with one accord, having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain. They asked for peace, because their country depended on the king's country for food. And then, on an appointed day, Herod the king puts on his royal robes, takes his seat on the throne, and gives a speech to the people. And as this wicked ruler stands up and gives this speech, they call out, "This is the voice of a god, not the voice of a man." And Herod accepts the praise of the people. He accepts them putting him on equality with God, the deity. The voice of a god, not the voice of a man. And this great, mighty, powerful ruler is immediately struck down. And the people were shouting, "The voice of a god, not of a man," immediately. An angel of the Lord struck him down because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. This king, this mighty one, this powerful one, refuses to acknowledge God, accepts the praise of the men around him. And in spite of this great and powerful king, God's kingdom will not be stopped. Immediately, an angel struck him down. He did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. What a contrast as this chapter draws to a close, from the beginning of the chapter to the end of the chapter. At the beginning of the chapter, we have James dead and Peter imprisoned. At the end of the chapter, we have Peter free and James murderer is dead. God will advance his kingdom in spite of the wicked powers of the world around us. We can't help but contrast this, the response that Peter gave when Cornelius called him. Remember back in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius called Peter to come, and Peter comes, and in Acts chapter 10, verse 25, when Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." Peter would not take the praise of man and elevate himself. Only God deserves that type of adoration. Only God deserves that type of praise. Again, this anticipates what will come later in Acts chapter 14. As Paul and Barnabas go to Lystra, we read in Acts chapter 14, verse 11, "And when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying, 'The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men.' Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance of the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, 'Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you. And we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to the living God.'" They refused to take the honor of men. They refused to have themselves elevated to God like the wicked tyrants would. The contrast between those who see God as the king, God as the glorious one, God who is advancing his kingdom. We can't help but hear the echoes in this story of that Old Testament story of Nebuchadnezzar. Remember that story, children? Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel. How Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, this great king has this dream of a tree with its top being cut off, but the roots being left there. And Nebuchadnezzar one day is out and admiring the city he has built. He says, "Look at all that I have done." Daniel chapter 4. And as he speaks of the glory of what he has done, God comes and strikes him. And for seven seasons, he eats grass like the ox. And he is out in the wild. And it's not until he comes to his senses. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. "At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation." He acknowledged the kingdom of God as that which was ongoing and eternal. Not the great city he had built, but is forced to acknowledge God. We read earlier tonight from Psalm chapter 2. The nations rage. They plot in vain against God and His anointed one. And how God sits in heaven and laughs in derision at the schemes of men. That ongoing battle between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. That ongoing battle that began all the way back in the Garden of Eden as Satan was there struggling to get the man and the woman to sin against God. And it seemed like the kingdom of darkness was winning as Satan is able to tempt them. But God makes the promise of one who would crush the head of the serpent. The story goes on with Cain and Abel, and when Cain kills his brother Abel, it seems like the powers of darkness are overcoming the powers of light. But God sends another one. He sends Seth to come and begin that godly line. Cain and Abel, where God once again does not allow the wickedness to overcome, but preserves His godly line. And even on the cross, where the righteous Son of God is hanging, condemned by those around Him. And it seemed like darkness had won as He cries, "It is finished," and gives up His spirit. But God raised Him from the dead. The wicked tyrants, the ways of the world cannot overcome the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beyond preserving His church, He advances His church. The Word of God increased and multiplied. And God's church continues to advance today. Oh, He does preserve His people, sustaining His people. But He continues to advance the claims of the gospel. And that word goes out even more fully, the missionary arm of the church. And we see at the end of chapter 12, the beginning of chapter 13, that ongoing advancement of the missionary movement as Paul will go out now and begin those great missionary journeys. And many will come to know the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. That work continues today as God's word continues to go out. As he includes us in that task to not simply preserve the truth, oh, that is part of our task, to preserve truth, but also to declare truth. And the kingdom of God advances as we open our mouths and speak the words of the gospel, as we tell our friends, our family, who may not know Christ, about His glorious work, about His perfect life, about His death on the cross. A death that would be powerful enough to atone for the sins of all of His people. And we continue that advancement by giving the call to faith and to repentance. God's kingdom advances in spite of human losses, in spite of wicked tyrants. And it advances by the power of the Word of God. God builds His church. God advances His kingdom through the Word empowered by the Spirit. the importance of hearing the Word of God, the importance of looking here for our answers. The Word of God increased and multiplied. That's why we come to church, kids, to hear again from God's Word, to hear again the official proclamation and declaration of what the Word of God has to say to us today. That Word must remain the center of our worship, and everything else flows around it. We see that even in the songs that we sing. How often don't we take the words of God on our own lips in praise to Him? We see that in the prayers that are offered. They echo the truths of Scripture. And that's why every Lord's Day, morning and evening, we gather around the preaching, the public proclamation of the Word of God. It is the power of that Word, blessed by the Spirit, that will continue to advance God's kingdom, continue to strengthen and encourage us in our hearts, in our lives, in all the parts of our lives. In times of joy, we can praise God because of how good He's been to us, and in times of trial and tragedy, that Word reminds us He is still in control. When we find ourselves in the hospital bed, when we find ourselves at the graveside, when we find ourselves facing difficulty in our relationships, to whom do we turn? We turn to that powerful Word of God that will guide and direct and encourage us. God continues to build His church. God continues to advance His kingdom. The Word must be central to our worship. The Word must be central in our homes. Spending time in not only personal devotions, but family devotions, together as a family, reading the Word of God, talking about the Word of God, being instructed from the Word of God. It is that tool that He uses to advance the claims of His kingdom in our hearts and lives. God's Word, central in the education of our children, that they be taught about the glories of the world around us in the light of God's revelation. God's Word central in our evangelism. Oh, evangelism often begins by befriending someone, by developing a relationship with someone. That's a good way to begin. But at some point, it must progress to being Word-centered and telling others the truth of Scripture, the glories of the Word of God, and what Jesus Christ has done for His people. Christ's kingdom continues to advance by the power of His Word. In spite of the death in this chapter, in spite of the imprisonment in this chapter, in spite of the difficulties in this chapter, the Word of God increased and multiplied. And God does the same thing today. In spite of difficulties we might see around us, difficulties within our church, difficulties without our church, difficulties in our families and our relationships, God continues to work, continues to expand His kingdom. And it must be our prayer that we find ourselves submitting ourselves to that glorious Word of God, being students of that glorious Word, and then by the power of God's Spirit applying that Word. Not simply an intellectual knowledge. I know this about the Word of God, but it must live in us and live through us as God continues to work, as He continues to build His church, as He continues to advance His kingdom. It's amazing. The book of Acts begins with 11 disciples and about 120 believers or so. The book of Acts ends with a worldwide church. God does miraculous things. God does marvelous things. And we are part of that glorious movement. We are a part of that glorious church that He, by His Word and Spirit, continues to advance. It is not the work of men, not the words that we have, but the Word of God. We must pray. We must pray that we continue to see that kingdom advance. That we praise God for His work in our midst, giving Him all the glory and all the honor as His church and kingdom advance by His word. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, how we thank You and praise You for the word You have given to us. A faithful record of Your way with Your people in the past, and a source of hope and encouragement for us in the present as You continue to work with Your people. Oh Lord God, may Your word strengthen us tonight. If we are going through times of trial, times of tragedy, times of difficulty, may that word speak words of life to us. And by Your Spirit, encourage us and strengthen us that You are the God who is still in control and still working on us and in us. Make us good students of Your word, O God, that we might see the glories of our King, Jesus Christ. We might see His glorious church advance and grow, not for our praise, but for the praise and honor of Your glorious name. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.